Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. That's what I love about this church. You never know what's going to happen. Not even I know what's going to happen. And I'm supposed to, but I don't. And I'd like to say I'm embarrassed about that, but I'm really not. One of the things I like is the noise those kids make as they go out. Because in the old days, you know, in the old days of church, that made those old sanctified people angry when you made noise in church. You know what I mean? And so every time I hear those footprints going, I just thank God that we've got young people in our church. And they make noise. Well, they do other things too, bang holes in the walls and things like that. But, you know, you can put up with that because kids are awesome. And I really like those little ones about that long. That got legs about that big around, cheeks that big. I like that. I like that. God has just blessed our church in a wonderful way. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn to the first letter to Timothy. We're going to be sharing out of the fourth chapter, probably the whole chapter before it's over. But I want to share some things with you I think the Lord has been speaking to my heart about. I was really pleasantly surprised and blessed when I went to the fairgrounds yesterday. Of course, I don't know if you know this or not, but when I don't know if this is a good thing to say or not, because it'll probably make you some of you mad. But they sent me this badge thing to wear. You know, well, when you wear a badge, people, you know, they think you're something. I don't know what, but so they ask you, and one of the kids at the ground said, hey, where do you get those things? And because see, that gets you into this modern living building, and they have all the goodies and the snacks and the stuff for the big shots, you know. So I felt pretty big shot-ish, and I went in there and got a bottle of water, you know. But the truth of the matter is, what I appreciate about the Lewis Palau ministry is that they respect the local church in a very a wonderful way. They have blessed the local churches and their effort to be able to get the gospel message shared with as many people as possible. And so their ministry is really cool. And I was talking with some people yesterday, and I'm comparing it with the Mario Murillo? Yeah. When he came to Yakima, did anybody remember that? All the churches tried to get together, and that was a little difficult. You know, it's kind of difficult to get churches unified. And so I think one of the greatest blessings I received already being a Christian was to see so many churches and people. You know, those badges mean you're part of the team helping work out, you know, some of the ministries and so forth. And what I appreciate is there's so many denominations and Christian organizations that were participating in, you know, doing the counseling, the ministering, even picking up the trash on the grounds. That's what those badges are for. That means you pick up the trash, you know. Anyway, but what I appreciated about it was the respect that Luis Palau's ministry gave to all the ministers and the churches. Because without the unification of the churches, the effort is just going to be Luis and his group, you know. And how great is that going to impact the upper and the lower valley? And so what I appreciated about it was that they were all inclusive. The Hispanic churches have been reached out to, and the Hispanic churches have come and supported. What a great afternoon in listening to some great Hispanic groups lead gospel or sing gospel music and stuff, and the message preached in Spanish. And I didn't understand just a few words, cortisone and taco and enchilada. I got that part down, but most of the message was... But what I liked about it was there was a large group of Hispanics there supporting the ministry and bringing their friends that may not know Christ, and many gave their hearts to the Lord. And just what a wonderful outreach it is. And organizationally, that's important to me. Organizationally, I appreciated his willingness to reach out to anybody that wanted to get the message of Jesus Christ across to anybody else. He wanted them to be a part of that. This has been going on for months, as you know. And we've been to lots of meetings and that kind of thing, kind of getting everything organized. And then we had the season of service, and that was all important also, because you earn credibility to preach the gospel message to people when you show that you're not after their money, you're after their heart and their soul for Jesus Christ, and that you want to do things to minister to their needs. And so this season of service has given churches in our community and other communities a focus, and as well credibility to share the gospel. And when people see the gospel in action, you know, not just behind your doors at home, reading your Bible and praying for 5 hours, your neighbor doesn't see that. But they do see you out there picking up the trash in front of their yard, or watching their home when they're on vacation, or maybe helping somebody paint a pool building down. But, you know, they see those things and they realize, well, the Christians aren't just, you know, these super holy people that don't want to have anything to do with a sinner, you know. But what they don't realize is we're all sinners, every one of us here, amen. And that message is the core message that we preach. Yeah, we want to help people. We want to counsel people. We want to help people through their situations, their issues of their life. And the only real answer to all of our situations, regardless of what the situation may be, is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. And if you receive him into your life, you that are Christians know that as well as I do. He transforms your life from the inside out. You start loving things you didn't love before. You start doing things you never did before. You start not doing things you did do before that you should have not done. You know what I mean? So it's a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ... But if the message is not clearly conveyed and explained, and it's just a simple message, we're sinners. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We need Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the price of our sins, so that through him we might have forgiveness and be transformed and changed. You know that story, don't you? That's who Jesus is and what it's all about. Now, we can preach that in 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 different ways, but the simple message is everybody needs Jesus Christ in their life. And that's why I'm so proud to have been our church participating in this great campaign and festival and outreach. It's just a wonderful thing. In comparison to the Mario Murillo thing, was another great outreach. The problem is the unity of churches broke down. And when Mario was going through some personal problems, you see, he was invited to come back in one more year. Do you remember this? How many of you are here? Did anybody, am I the only one that went to the? Oh, there's two of us, three of us, okay. You know, when you bring a big ministry, a well-known, a nationally known ministry into a community, the public becomes aware of that. And that's a very important thing with me, because when we do things that are viewed publicly, we want to do them top drawer, and we want to do them in such a way that we get an honest gospel message out, and that we prove that it's the message by how we conduct ourselves continually after that. And so when he was invited to come back the next year, and he had some personal problems, didn't go into sin or anything like that, frankly, his wife left him, but so that he went through those personal problems. We never invited him back. We never brought him back in. To me, we lost the momentum that was created when we brought him in the first time, and so many people, I mean, people that I knew of business-wise attended that meeting. Supplier, owners of the supply houses that I deal with on a daily basis, some of them were at those meetings. And so when we lost our unification and we lost our momentum and we didn't bring him back in, we lost our credibility. Hello? And so one of the wonderful things that we're gaining in this participation is that we're two things. One, we're breaking down, I think, a great big wall that is between Anglos and Hispanics in this valley. I don't know if you know much about Hispanic churches, but by dealing with and sharing with Brother Martin, it's very difficult for Anglos to be able to share the gospel. We're not trusted. You know, that's just the way it is. I'm not telling you something that's not known or understood. So it's breaking down that wall. I like that. I think that's a wonderful thing. Because when we're on stage, on this stage, but I mean, I'm not up there on their stage, but when I see people on large public festivals, and there's Hispanics and blacks and whites and greens and those polka dot, the polka dot ones are a little weird, but you see them all on the stage, there's no mention of race or, you know, culture or anything. It's all Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that? I've been to a lot of conferences, and there's all colors and sizes. That's another thing. Big guys, skinny guys, tall guys. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody even thinks or looks at those things. They think only if that person's a Christian. And they're going to share something with me, and I'm going to learn something from their life, and they're going to learn something from my life. And so I think that's a great wall that needs to be broken down in the Lower Valley, Upper Valley, Green Valley. How green was my valley? Does anybody know that book? Has nothing to do with it, but anyway. Have I led you astray? All right. And the other thing is, it's brought churches together. Churches I'll give you an example. I was talking with some missionary friends of ours. Well, you know them, Dip Miller, who brought the Vietnamese people here. And you remember that when we were in the other section and we had the Vietnamese missionary people come and one of our services? They were talking about when they went down into Texas and they were ministering down there. The Hispanic churches and the black churches supported them almost 100%. The Anglo churches wouldn't help them a bit to get the gospel message out. Now, what do we have in church for if we're not to preach the gospel and share Christ with other people? I don't understand that. And then it was different. It would tell me about different areas of the country he would go to, and it was completely different. Anglos and then no blacks, and Hispanics and Anglos would. So it's just a weird thing. I appreciate this ministry. I've gone on way too long. But I want to encourage you to be there this afternoon for your own benefit and so forth. And if you stay over for Elton John, that's fine. I don't care. Amen. See, I hope I'm helping you by sharing you some of the realities of church work. If we don't stop having barriers and agendas and things that prevent us from fellowshipping together and sharing the gospel message, we're nothing but hypocrites. Amen. How can you say you love Jesus Christ and want to share the gospel with everybody, and yet you only share it with certain people? I don't like that. I just think that's wrong. And so, I understand some people not even wanting to agree with me. I'm a little weird. But there are other people that are more normal than I am that don't have an excuse. Anyway, I went way too long on trying to encourage you to be there this afternoon and get a real big blessing. If you've never been to that kind of a festival, I really like the way they do their ministry. It's been a wonderful blessing, and I can't say enough of how great I think the impact is going to be in our valley, provided we stay unified after Luis and his team are gone. And we continue that ministry. Now, in chapter 4, I'm sorry, I'm abruptly moving on to something else, so stay with me. Those of you that may be visiting with us this morning, I apologize for my insanity. But I want to try to share a message with you this morning out of the Word. This book is a good book, and they're all good books, but this one is important this morning because it focuses a bit on what I want to share with you, because one of the things I've discovered in some of my observations about ministries and stuff, especially over the last few days, I've been thinking about. I've come to realize that there are certain things that promote the gospel message and promote what Jesus is really trying to do. And there are things that are even sometimes within the church, not this church, because this is the perfect church. Were you looking for a perfect church? Right. What? He is weird. But there are things that promote the positive deliverance of the message. Now, one thing I want to preface the reading of this word with this morning is just a little note. One of the things that's difficult for people to understand is that church is not just where we come because we're saved people. We know Jesus Christ. Church is a place where we come to fellowship and to grow in how to be a good Christian. So there's none of us here that are perfect. The church is always perfect because Jesus Christ is the church, the head of the church, and so it's going to be perfect. But you and I, we kind of fall a little short of that because we're still human. We haven't gone on to be with Jesus Christ yet, and he hasn't returned and transformed us completely. So what we have to realize is that we still deal with our own personal flaws. And so when we come to the house of God, we should hear something from the Word that encourages us to live closer to the Lord and walk right with him and learn more about how he lives and be a better Christian. But that's in and of itself is not the end. That's not just the goal of what God has in mind for our lives. He has that in mind. Yeah, that's why we gather to fellowship and we do Bible studies and do all the things we do at church to encourage one another, inform one another about what's pleasing to God and what's not pleasing to God. But that's not the only reason we come, so that we can be changed, so that we can fulfill the purpose, the personal purpose we have that God has assigned to us, imprinted in us. And so each one of us, prior to knowing Jesus Christ, may not even be aware of what I'm talking about. But after you become a Christian, and so if you're not a Christian this morning, this may be helpful to you. If you're not a Christian, you're seeking to know him, know that after you receive him into your life, after you ask him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, then begins that process of him working and ministering and pouring his love into your life and his forgiveness when you stumble and fall and you don't live up to what you know the Bible says and you maybe sin a little bit and you got some baggage at God's work. All those things that are a part of becoming a mature Christian, if you've never received that, as you come into Christ, you will start to learn what God is doing there. But church is not just for that. It's a place where we come to worship God. Yes, that's A1. That's number one. That's awesome. But it's also a place where we have an opportunity to pour ourselves out before the Lord without having any kind of need for embarrassment or to be afraid, because these altars are a place that have been set aside for people to come weep or bow down, fall on your face and praise God. Whatever way you feel to express yourself, do that, you know. Come to that altar. Let God pour himself into you. Speak to your heart. Minister your life. That's what these altars are for. And it should be an atmosphere in this church or any church where you should feel free enough to go before the Lord and do that. Amen? And so some of the things that promote good, healthy growth in the Lord are in these scriptures, and there's quite a few of them, and I've already wasted 20 minutes of your time trying to lead up to this, but let me begin reading the Word, and you'll get an idea of where I want to focus this morning, and I pray that it'll be a blessing. I pray that if you don't know Christ, that through this little bit of a sermon that I'm going to share with you this morning, you'll discover the path there and how easy it is to receive him into your life. And if you do know Christ, and I'm assuming many of us do, and most of you that I know that are Christians, that it will be of benefit for you, because there's some words and there's some phrases in the scripture that hang in your heart in a good way. Do you know what I'm saying? Have you ever read a scripture and just a phrase out of that, you've been reading a whole section of scripture, and then just one phrase just leaps off the page. Have you ever had that happen? There's a couple of phrases, one in particular that I want to focus on. And that is that we trust because we trust in the living God. And I want to lead up to that as quickly as I can. So I'm going to put it in second gear. So hang on. Put your seatbelt on. I'm going to be talking just this fast. So try to stay up with me. And now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. Verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Let me give a little side note here. If anybody... And not everybody's going to agree with me, so that's just your problem. But I want to share with you that if anybody has ever told you that you can become a Christian and never lose out with God, never lose that salvation, never experience the loss of your walk, this scripture tells you that it's possible for you to walk away from the faith. I didn't write this. I just reported it. And it's the truth. And one of the things that I've observed in my 40-some years of preaching, I have observed that we not only believe in backsliding, we practice it. And that's an unfortunate thing because, you know, too many people have gone down that road where they have discovered that this is not a good place to be. and have had to struggle their way, you know what I'm talking about? Struggle their way back to a healthy walk with Jesus Christ. It's not impossible to return to Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is don't let anybody tell you you cannot lose out with God, because the only way, it's possible, but the only way that you can lose out with God is for you to walk away from Him. You don't lose your salvation like, oh, I lost my keys. You lose your salvation because you determined to walk away from Christ. You hearing me? So don't blame the devil and don't blame the circumstances. You don't just trip on a rock and fall into sin. You do it by choice. You choose Jesus Christ, you choose to walk away from Him. The Bible clearly tells us that God will never forsake us. God will never kick us out of the kingdom. God, as many times as we blow it, He'll still forgive us and restore us. It's a tough process to go through, but He'll still do that. So there's always great hope amongst Christians that should we stumble, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and our desire for forgiveness, He is quick and just and faithful to forgive us our sins. What a wonderful Savior. There's no other Savior on earth. There's no other religion on earth that teaches you that. That you can have redemption, forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and be forgiven continually as you have to go and ask for it, but you've got an opportunity for God to bless you. So don't let anybody throw you off and say, hey, once you're saved, that's it. No, because you know what happens when that happens? People make Christianity, my wife said this in a cool way, yeah, they just want to get God and put Him in their knapsack. You know, one more thing you've got in your knapsack. You know, well, I did that prayer thing once when I was 10 years old. I don't need to do that again. Folks, let me tell you, from 10 years old till now, you might want to examine how you've been living from that time you made that. And has it been godly all that time? If it hasn't, you might need to come back again. You know what I'm saying? And so it's important for you to understand this is not something, a ceremony you do or involved in for once and for all. Let me tell you what, it can be that once and for all, provided you live godly. And you live for the Lord and you live the way the Lord wants you to live and you live Christ-like and you live a Christian walk. I've got stumbled on the first verses, haven't I? I'm sorry. Some shall depart from the faith. You see, this is a warning that Paul has given to Timothy. Timothy's a young minister. Many of you may not know that. Some of you here don't know who Timothy is. But Timothy was a protege of the Apostle Paul, and he was planted in Ephesus at one point. But he's sending word to Timothy and giving him some instruction because Timothy is going through some problems. Now, I know every one of you that come to this church and faithful to this church and support this church and the ministry of this church, and you do that in a wonderful, faithful way, but sometimes you come with the wrong idea. You come with the idea that the pastor never has any problems. The pastor doesn't have any issues he has to deal. He doesn't have any problems he has to try to solve. Well, when you read this, when Timothy is written to Paul, I've got some problems, Paul. What do I do with these people? You know what I mean? And that's what he's saying. He said, hey, I'm writing to him. And well, here's what the Holy Spirit says, Timothy. And he says, hey, there's going to be people that are going to depart from the faith. Now, he tries to focus on the latter day, but let's be real, real honest. There are a lot of people over history that have left the faith. And by the way, when they leave the faith, if they die, they go to hell. That is so sad. That is so sad. Listen to what else he encourages him, man. I'm going to stay there all day. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Now listen to me. There are evil spirits at work that prompt and use people, situations, circumstances, and maybe even people very close to you, but they are seducing spirits that draw you away from the faith. And oh, by the way, doctrines of devils. There are doctrines that have been preached in the church over the last 20 years that I'm going to tell you are doctrines of devils that teach you to put your focus on other things than the one focus it should be upon, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. It's not some formula that you've dug out by some secret revelation somebody has gotten and tried to tell you that this is the way to prosperity, this is the way to all of God's blessings, this is the way to get all these things. That is nothing more than teaching people that by works we get the blessings of God.
Nothing that comes from God is done by works. It's done by faith. Trusting, he's going to say that in a minute, trusting in a living God. It's not what you do that secures anything from God. Are you still with me? Now, that doesn't mean God don't bless you. He does. Sometimes he blesses you when you're ornery. Huh? He sometimes blesses you when you don't deserve it. But that's up to him. But don't think by you doing A, B, C is going to equal all of God's blessings in your life. Because I'm going to tell you what, the Apostle Paul floated in the deep a couple times. What's that mean? Shipwrecked, hanging on a piece of wood. That's my greatest fear. I'm sorry. Because I can't see what's down there coming up to see where I am at and taking a little taste. You know what I'm saying? Just not into that Jaws thing. You know, it's a freaky deal. So if you want to know what living a Christian life is, it's not an easy life to live, but it is highly rewarding. And I got to get going because down here, I'm not even to the scripture that tells you all this, and I'm jumping ahead. And speaking lies, this is what's going to draw people away from Christ. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, saying that they're living a certain way and trying to teach you that, but in the reality, they're living a dual life. Having their conscience. Folks, conscience is God's way of getting your attention. Your conscience is God's way of warning you that you may be getting into an area that doesn't please him. Thank God for a healthy conscience. But if you sear your conscience, how do you sear your conscience with a hot iron? Well, I saw cattle before, and that's a searing. Have you ever seen them brand cattle? I'm not much of a farmer guy or any of that kind. You know that by now, that I'm always making mistakes about branding and cows and cutting them open and surviving in the middle of sub-zero weather and getting in trouble. Oh, I was a horse that time, I think. But anyway, I got a letter back about how a Harley broke down and a horse rescued me. That was awesome. But I've seen them. Have you ever seen a branding? They sear that brand onto them. You ever watched John Wayne or Clint Eastwood? You've seen them do that kind of thing, you know. How do you do that? Well, you do that by sinning or not pleasing God and continuing to do it. And when he warns you and he convicts you and he says, don't do that to you. And how does he do that? How does he tell you not to do it? He tells you in your heart, you know it's wrong. In your heart, it's wrong. Don't do that. And you do it anyway. And so when you do it again, he tells you, no, don't do that. And you tell him, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do it again and again and again and again. And you sear your conscience. After a while, it doesn't bother you to do something wrong. It doesn't bother you to do that. In fact, what you'll begin to do is be a lying spirit. You'll say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. God hasn't struck me with lightning, so it must be okay. Folks, God does not always strike you with lightning. Sometimes he lets you have your way. It's getting way too stinking quiet here. He lets you have your way. And what happens? If you go your way, it is the way of destruction. God doesn't want you to not live a life that isn't full of joy and happiness and fun and have good times and stuff like that. God is the inventor of all good times. Moral good times. Not the immoral, but the good times. God wants you to be fulfilled and satisfied, and he wants you to fully enjoy what salvation really is in your life. It brings positive and powerful and wonderful things in the midst of darkness and trouble in a world that is really spun out of control. Christians have the answer. Jesus brings control to your life. You know, and I'm standing here and preach this every Sunday, and there are still people that have come to our church. You give them the hope of the gospel. That if you trust Christ and follow, he'll bless your life. He'll make your life right. He'll bring balance. He'll bring control. He'll bring wonderful life to you. Oh, you're not exempt from problems and troubles. You're going to have them. But you'll be successful going through them because he'll go through them with you. But I've had people in this very church listen to those messages, walk right out of this church and walk right off a cliff. Which tells me this. Preachers aren't really important. It's the message alone. Preachers don't deliver people. Preachers can't do anything but warn you. Preachers can't do anything but explain to you what God is trying to say. What is important is the person hearing that word doing something positive with that word in their own life. So any preacher that thinks he's big time, you ought to stop and think, well, hey, buddy, you're nothing but a messenger. And the results are strictly up to God. Are you still with me? There's something that Paul is leading up to here. Let me continue as quickly as I can, because he gives a whole list of things here that these people that are got their conscience seared and they've been drawn away, they try to hang in the church and try to influence people, and they even start their own churches and they try to teach people things, rules and regulations that are not even biblical things. For instance, in the third verse, forbidding people to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. I don't even let my doctor talk me out of eating a big old steak. I'm sorry. You're going to die if you don't. Your cholesterol, your veins are going to be so thick that blood certainly isn't good, but water couldn't even, because they're so clogged with good old-fashioned, homemade, fried hamburgers this thick, just juice running out. Steak, just before I cook my steak, I rub it on my arms because I love it so much. I'm not going to let a doctor talk me out of that. I'll just go ahead and die. What a way to go. Huh? Filet that thick, man. I'm going for it. If I'm going to croak, I'm going the best way I can. Hey, don't be telling me not to eat meat. I'm sorry, buddy. And you know why? Verse 4. Listen to what it says. For every creature of God is good, especially on the Barbie. And nothing to be refused. Here's the kicker. If it be received with thanksgiving. Oh, man, do I know? God bless this. Thank you, Jesus, for this big old steak. I love it. I don't have a problem with that thanksgiving thing, do you? You can kind of get that one out there pretty easy. Verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Buddy, I'll bring my Bible to dinner every time. And I don't mind praying for the food. And if you know, when you come to dinner with me, whether we're at a restaurant or to my home, hey, we don't mince words. We don't mess around when it's eating time. Because I know if you take too long, people lose momentum. You can't lose momentum when it comes to a steak, let me tell you. So you can ask all the men from men's group when we go to breakfast. And they have me pray. And usually they have me pray. And there's a reason they have me pray. Because I pray fast. Lord, bless this fellowship. And Lord, bless this food. That's it. We don't mess around. And I think that fulfills every bit of the scripture. Praise God. So you can see how far-fetched people get. I believe it's a seducing spirit and an unsound doctrine to tell me not to eat steak. I'm sorry. Yeah, it just comes straight from the devil. There's no question about that. Anyway, let me push on. Second section of scripture is really awesome. Listen to what he says. Because Paul is trying to encourage Timothy, and I'm hopefully going to encourage you this morning that God is not your enemy. God is not your barrier. God is not your condemner. God is not one who judges us. Christ one day, when we stand before him, will tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And what is he going to do that in response to? Somebody who has received him and joyfully served him their whole lives. Been faithful. What a great message that was from the Lord this morning. Amen. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. What a great message. But listen, let me go through as quickly as I can. Verse 6. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Those things are necessary, but it needs to be real good doctrine, biblical, whereunto thou hast attained. So Timothy's arrived there, and so he's encouraging him, continue to do these things. Warn people about the coming of the Lord. Warn people not to follow false teachers and leaders and so forth, and keep their faith simple before Jesus Christ. That's what he's encouraging to do. But listen to what he says. But refuse profane and old wives' tales. Fables, I'm sorry. And I thought, old wives' tables. fables, tales. What? And the only one that could come to my mind, because I've not been privy to a whole lot of wives' tale stuff. I mean, I've been around them when they've done crazy things like stick needles over pregnant women, you know, see if it spins or it swings. You know, one's a boy and one's a girl. I don't know which one it is. So when they do it, I never know which it's going to be. But anyway, they do that. Those are kind of those things, superstitious kind of things. The other things like, have you ever heard that statement, God helps those that helps themselves? That's not scriptural, but he does. You know, I just thought that I mentioned that. But basically what it is, things that sound like they're the truth, but they're really not biblical. That's kind of what he's talking about. But anyway, refuse profane and old wives' fables, exercising thyself rather unto godliness. And that's a good word. That's not a bad word. That's not really a restrictive word, although many people tend to make that. So, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. Oh, I can do that, but I can't do this and this and this. And we have this big list of things we think means godliness and ungodliness. Do you know what godliness is? Is living as pure a heart as you can get. By seeking his word and seeking him and desiring to know him better, trust me, you'll be godly. And you'll be living godly. Because the Spirit will speak to you. He'll talk to you. And one of the things he'll tell you is, it's okay to eat a steak. I'm sorry. Now, here comes the conflict. I don't really argue with the scripture, but I think I understand what he means. And so sometimes it kind of gets you on the... blindsides you a little bit. Verse 8, for bodily exercise. Now, those of you that are those people that you see out there running in those spandex shorts, have you ever seen them? They just seem to be on the highway everywhere now that the weather's great. And they're just out there running. And I just want to drive up with my truck and just kind of slap them in the back of the head as they're going along there, you know, because I just can't do that. Bodily exercise profiteth little. That's why I don't do it. Anyway. But godliness is profitable. Now, here is the kicker. Here is the awesome thing. Here is the hope that the church should be preaching. Here is the message that he should be shared by every living Christian. Not the problems you're having and how tough a life you're having and how horrible the devil is and all the circumstance. You know, Christians should be living a positive, powerful life. That don't mean we're not going to have our ups and downs, but they should be less ups and less downs. They should be more consistent and power living. We should live with conquering ability, with the power to overcome our circumstances. What a wonderful life living for Jesus Christ. It's not just, okay, now I'm saved and that's it. I got that taken care of. It's in my duffel bag. Now I just go on and do the life the rest of the way I want to and let it be haphazard. Man, prayer changes things. Living godly changes circumstances. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Now listen to this. This is the most important part of this verse. Having promise of life. Now I take that to mean abundant life, living full, living large, enjoying life. That's what I take that to be. A spiritual element as well as just a physical element or natural element. Having the promise of life that now is, right now. There was a minister that I didn't really consider him because the guy was a flake. But, you know, all you got to do is have money, folks, to get on TV. You know that? So we're going to take a large offering here this morning so that we can go on TV and people can see us and all that. But that, just because you got money and people supporting you to put you on TV does not necessarily qualify you to have any kind of sense whatsoever. That's why you should take TV preachers, and even me, with a little grain of salt before and check them out before you start being real gung-ho about their ministry, because there was a guy back in the late 70s that was a pure flake. And he was the one that was teaching getting your blessings now, getting your wealth now, and he was getting real wealthy because people were sending him all kinds of dough because they love to hear that, because that kind of tickles your ear. Doesn't everybody want to have lots of money? Sure, that's an easy message to flap at you. The truth of the matter is, not every one of us are going to be rich. Not every one of us are going to be prosperous. Some of us are going to go through some hard times. But anyway, my point is, he used to say, I don't want my blessing like the pie in the sky in the sweet. That was his favorite saying, by and by. Do you ever remember that?
Maybe you don't know. If you don't know the guy's name, fine. It's probably better to forget it. But his whole idea was, don't worry about heaven. Let's get it now. Well, I hate to tell you this. Heaven's what you worry about first, and what now is comes as a blessing from God. And you acknowledge that, and you put God in his proper place, not pull him down and make him a servant to you. Ooh. Then you might see a few lightning bolts. I don't know. But listen to this word. Not only is it promised life now, but also now which is to come. You've got both of them secured because you're living a godly life and pleasing the Lord. What a wonderful word. This is a faithful saying. In other words, God is going to be faithful to this saying. It's a faithful saying and worthy of everybody accepting it. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. What? I think I missed that part. What? Therefore we both labor. Well, I've got that part down. I've labored a bit. And suffer reproach. Have you ever suffered reproach? Let me tell you what. If you don't know Christ and you're seeking him, let me warn you in advance. There's going to be some suffering. It would be remiss of me as a pastor, and God will hold me to a high accountability if I don't warn you before you receive Christ and warn you after you've received Christ. It's no bed of roses. The whole world is against you. The whole culture is against you. The direction this world is going, which is to hell, is against you. So your business deals, your relationships with people, you're going to have suffering. I don't want to pull any punches and have you have some false illusion that when you become a Christian, so if you're seeking Jesus Christ, let me warn you in advance, it's tough. It takes real men and women to be Christians. But it is the most highly rewarding and blessed life on the planet. Amen. Give God a hand. And this word is talking about that. Promise of life, now and eternity. But listen to what he says. You're going to be laboring, and you're going to suffer reproach. Probably the first thing you experience as a Christian is reproach. People will reject you and leave you. How many of you, when you first became a Christian, had all of your buddies and friends that you hung out with slowly begin to fade away? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a reason for that. By the way, you didn't lose anything when they left you. Just to encourage you, you didn't lose it. You gained everything. You gained eternal life and all that kind of stuff, which we sometimes even take for granted in our discussions. But one of the things I learned is that most of those friends that I was hanging out with weren't really friends. You know, when you talk about friends, I had a couple of them, but most of them bailed out on me because they thought I was a religious screwball. And I still am, but what's that got to do with it? But what I realized is that when you become a Christian, you're going to instantly be standing on your own. And you're going to have to man up and be ready to suffer a little reproach. But let me ask you something. To have the most successful kind of living lifestyle with blessings now and blessings in eternity, is it worth it to let those who may not really have been friends after all? Oh, they were friends on payday. See, a lot of my friends didn't work. And so come Friday, they'd all be, hey, where are we going tonight? Of course, when I was not a Christian, I was right in that group. But after I became a Christian, I didn't give up my paycheck quite so easily. You know what I'm saying? Because I had obligations and I had not only my bills to pay, but I suddenly realized that, hey, I like God. I'm going to give him some money. I'm not taking an offering. I'm just telling you how I felt. I felt like I owed God something. And I really didn't in the sense that I had to pay for my salvation. But I did in the sense that I'm so grateful for what he had done in my life, turning me completely around and changing my life. And I'm not going to go into the description of what kind of a rank louse I was at those times. But I'm going to tell you this. It was a complete 180 turn around. And what he did for me was phenomenal. and transformed my life. And I felt like I owed God something. I didn't in that sense, but I wanted to bless him. I wanted to do things because he had been so good to me. And so my heart, what I'm illustrating is that my heart changed. Whereas I was blowing my check on every weekend, now I at least had enough to honor God. My heart. I'm talking about my heart. I'm not talking about offerings. I'm talking about my heart. And so what happens is you begin to realize and you begin to live with a change of mind. I'm thinking in spiritual terms. I want to think in ways that's going to be successful for my spiritual walk with Christ. I started thinking about how can I live so that I'm more pleasing to God? And it wasn't the do's and the don'ts. That has nothing to do with it. Those things will come or go, whatever they might be. The closer you get to God, God will tell you what's in your life and what's out of your life. And if you're smart, you'll obey him. But the awesome thing is that my life, my attitude toward living, my attitude toward other people, my attitude toward life in general, in the big scheme of things, changed. I no longer became the self-focused, self-aggrandizing individual looking only for what was good for me and try to get the most I can out of life in that direction. I changed that thinking, and guess what? I've had more given to me by God than I ever could have earned. I go to bed at night with a clear conscience, or wherever that conscience is at. I go to bed and I lay my head down with the sense and the knowledge that God loves me and that I'm living the way he wants me to live and I'm right where he wants me to be. I don't know about you, like a pretty awesome thing. Let me finish reading this scripture. This is a faithful saying worthy of everybody accepting it. For verse 10, for therefore, I'm not going to be able to get to the rest of it, so just hang with me on this last couple of verses. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Who, by the way, is the Savior of all men if they'll accept him, especially those that believe. That's why I said that. These things command and teach. We teach those things here. We command you to do that. I command you in the name of Jesus to live right. Now we'll just see when you walk out of here how good that command went. But that's what we teach in this church. That's what we believe. Well, we believe it not based on what we've just read, but because every one of us have given our hearts to Jesus Christ, believe what the Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy as the leader of a church. And so what I think the Spirit is speaking, I don't have time to go into the last point this morning, but what I think is that the Lord is doing some pretty awesome things in your personal life. In fact, I think he wants you to be as profitable spiritually as you possibly can be, and along with that will trickle down the other blessings in your life. I just think it's just a wonderful way of living. It's a way that lives with peace in your heart. Conscience is free. And when you shake a hand with a guy on a deal, it's a deal. You live up to your part. He lives up to his part. It's an honest thing. It's an integral thing. It's just wonderful how God has changed my heart. Because there was a time, buddy, I would have ripped you off in a heartbeat. Buddy, you're a sucker. I came from Reno. We had lots of suckers come through Reno. You know what I mean? I worked at a gas station. I had some perks when I was a sinner that I don't necessarily have now. And not necessarily that it's a godly thing or ungodly thing, but you could be arrested for it. But what God thought of it, I really didn't know. But I worked at this gas station on the south end of Reno just before you come to the intersection where you can go left and go up to Virginia City or go right and go up to Mount Rose. Has anybody ever been to Nevada, Reno? Somebody, raise your hand if you've been to Reno. Okay. If you're heading south, you just go right down the main street. South Virginia, just go south. If you keep going, you'll hit Carson City. But before you get there, you'll come to the intersection. It's only about 10, 15 miles outside of town. But now that's the town now. But when I was a kid, it was a ways out of town, and you could go up to Virginia City or up to Mount Rose, which, by the way, up on the way up to Mount Rose, it's not there anymore, unfortunately. Had one of the greatest restaurants in the world. Man, it was cool. It's called the Lancers. Dana, did you ever eat dinner at the Lancers? It was a awesome restaurant. As you're taking the road up to Mount Rose, you pull off on this driveway, and there's just kind of a knoll. It's like, where'd this knoll come from? But right on top of the knoll, was the Lancer's restaurant. It was cool. They had the greatest spinach salad in the world, and you could get a steak and lobster there for about $11.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother. Amen. And what was cool about it is at nighttime, which is when you took a date out to the Lancers, at nighttime, all of Reno is lit up. And you're on this little knoll raised up, and it's like you're sitting up on this cliff area looking right into Reno and all the lights. It was just El Romantico. I hope that's Spanish. I don't know if it is or not, but it just sounds good. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Then unfortunately, the cooks got wild one night and burned the place down. They never rebuilt it. But anyway, so I know you were thinking about going there, right? So anyway, I was working at this gas station, and the perks were people. I don't know. I know nobody in our church has ever gambled, so I have to instruct you on this, right? Yeah. Right. I know, you guys always follow my advice, right? You walk around outside the 7-Eleven looking for lotto tickets to be on the ground and fall down on them, even though you were the one that threw it down, and you then fell, oh, I accidentally found this lotto ticket. I know how you work the scheme. It worked. Anyway, in Reno, I don't know if you know this, but there used to be a sign there that shows a guy with a suspender straps and a barrel around him. Because he'd lost everything in Reno, and he's on his way out. Anyway, that used to be one of the signs they had there. It was right up by the gas station I was working in. But what's interesting about that is people would come in there, and they would, man, they'd give me their watch for a fill-up of gas in the tank, you know. They'd lost all their money. And, oh, by the way, they didn't have visas in those days. Is anybody still with me? No visas in those days. And so they might have a Sears credit card. You know, by the way, Visa was invented by Sears. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. Anyway, why? Because they've been to Reno. They know, hey, these guys got to have a credit card. So anyway, they'd come. Guy would go to Sears and buy some tires, buy four tires with his credit card from Sears. Then he'd come sell them to me in the gas station for half the money. And so, you know, there's some perks involved in that. And so some powerful living there. But the point that I'm trying to get at is those things that appear to us to be so awesome about life really are the emptiest things in the world. The only thing that brings real depth and satisfaction in our lives is to have our spirit right, to have our hearts right. God, am I right before you? And guess what? You'll get tires. God will help you get tires. I'll help you get a watch. I got a watch now. I don't need to wait for somebody to lose everything and sell me their watch for $5 or a tank. By the way, $5 filled a tank in those days. Living for Christ is the greatest way to live in this world. It comes with guaranteed promises. First thing, get your sin out of your life, clears the conscience. Transform your heart, your motivations are pure. Transform your thinking, your thoughts are pure. How many could use a pure thought now and then? Yeah. All the things that are really the most important things in life come from Jesus Christ. And so anyone who wants to weigh in the balance, what is the most important thing? What is the greatest decision I need to make in my life? Many of you have already found out the answer to that. And it's not just so we can have a church or we can talk churchy things. It's so that your life can have power and abundance and blessings. Why? Because your heart's right. Your spirit's in tune with God. Your soul has come alive. You're now serving Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus pays pretty good. If a conscience is what he gives you, a clear conscience, that's pretty good trade-off, don't you think? Not only that, he begins to go before you in your life. And he begins to clear the path so that you can walk faithfully with him. Well, what happened when I stumbled and I fell and I sinned? Well, it's like I said, nobody stumbles and falls into sin. So if you sinned, you chose to do that. But guess what? Jesus does not abandon you on the trail.
Hello?
He comes and he speaks and he loves and he shows compassion and he shows mercy. Oh, yeah, he doesn't like it when you sin. Because sin is a violation of the relationship you just established with him. And it ruins everything. Ruins your thinking. It ruins your heart. It puts guilt back upon you. It starts weaving a web of chain around you again. God wants you to be free, liberated, abundant in the life that now is and in the one that's to come. So what is the message Paul is telling him? I want to close with this thought. What is the message Paul is telling Timothy, who's leading this church? He's given him all these things that we've just described and talked about. What is the ultimate message he's trying to get across to Timothy? Timothy, you've got to teach your people. You've got to encourage your people to keep their focus and their eyes upon me. And I will help them when temptation comes. I will warn them when danger is near. I think the word we received this morning was a warning as much as an encouragement. You see, oh, I'd love to have you come to church. I'd love to have you come listen to me babble along and all that kind of thing. But ultimately, what's the most important thing is you come to the house of God to interact with Jesus Christ. I'm up here to motivate you, to point you in the right direction, to encourage you to go that way. If you want one word, faithful. What a great word that came across. By the way, we didn't converse. Kind of fits the message, doesn't it? So what am I saying? What's Jesus saying? What's Paul saying? He's saying you cannot separate the way you live from the outcome of your life. How you live determines the outcome of your life. Now, when I was young, I didn't care. I'm immortal. But now that I'm older and smarter, I've come to realize that Jesus is pretty smart. And that's why he warns us, don't fall away from the faith. In the last days, many people are going to fall away from the faith. There's going to be so many things that look like glitter, look like the truth, look like this is the way to go. Too many people abandon the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. They abandon that for what looks to be a greater message, only to discover that the glitter is exactly that. Glitter. No substance. Glitter. So, I want to encourage you this morning. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart. The Spirit says explicitly, expressly. It is the Spirit that is speaking to us, not the pastor. It's the Spirit speaking to us. Keep your heart right. This is one of the coolest things I came across my mind as I thought about this message this morning. This would be an old song. I wish I could remember it. I'd even try to sing it for you. But we've come too far to turn back now. We've been, you know, I've heard this message just recently, so that's why I get, maybe it's echoing in my heart. Sometimes people get just where the answer is about to come, and they give up too soon. 90% of the way, and it's not worth it. It is worth it. Because Jesus is really the answer. Now, young people, the only thing that you're thinking about at this point is not college. You're thinking about, what? Where's that dream boat of mine? Where's that good-looking woman that I'm going to marry? I know what's going through your mind. Don't give me this, I'm going to college, I'm going to get me a career, baloney. Come on. I've been to Bible college, bridal college. I've been there. When you're young, you're thinking, I want to get all these ducks in a row. Well, when you're getting your ducks in a row, don't forget Jesus. Because the rest of your life really is the decisions you make now.
And if you think this is just a social thing we're doing, folks, we have a lot of fun together, but it's not a social thing. It's an eternal thing. And I know you young people look at me, shit, that stupid old guy. He's so dumb. Well, look at him. He's so old and out of shape. He's not worth much at all. I don't have to listen to his stupidity. Okay. Let me give you this prediction. If you don't listen to me, better yet, if you don't listen to the Spirit, look at me like I'm a dumb rope all you want to. But I can guarantee you, if you don't listen to what the Spirit says, you're in trouble. Oh, you can make all the plans you want to. It's amazing how plans never work out. What I want for your life is for the Holy Spirit to so saturate you. Not that you become some kind of religious weirdo. That's, you go up on some mountain up there and grow your beard and wear robes and all that kind of stuff and live a life of whatever that is. Hermitage or whatever, I don't know. What I'm saying is that he so saturates you that your life, by choice, is dominated by Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has your best interest in mind. Will you listen to me? Those old boys at college, they don't have your best interest in mind. Them old girls at college nowadays. There was a time when they were smarter, but I don't know. But they don't have your best interest in mind. The only one that's really looking out for you is Jesus Christ. Let's stand, shall we? Now let me say a little word to you, old codgers. You fit into the category that I think relates to Scripture, not directly spoken of, but it's an older man sharing with a younger man some great advice. But I thought, you know, what's that saying to us that are older, that have been a Christian for a long time? It's saying, hey, go back and refresh yourself in the things of the Lord. Maybe we've gotten a little stale. Because we've got it all put together. We've got Jesus right where we want him. You know, he's given us all the blessings and benefits. And the truth of the matter is, God is calling all of us to faithfulness. Calling all of us to trust in the living God. I don't care what you're going through in life. And many of the things that some of you are facing, I don't know how anybody goes through them, but I less know how anybody goes through them without Jesus. And so I want to pray Jesus into your circumstances this morning. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, we would be remiss not to give you an opportunity right where you're standing to ask Jesus into your heart. And it's simple. It's easy. After that, it gets a little tougher. If you want to make a real good, smart decision in your life, it would be to ask Jesus into your heart while you have an opportunity to do that. And so first I want to pray for those of you that may not know Christ, and I don't know who that might be in our congregation today, but if you don't know Christ, you've never really spoke to him like your best friend and asked him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins and be your Savior, I want you to follow me in this prayer this morning. In fact, let's all follow me in this prayer so we don't feel like, you know, somebody's being conspicuous praying by themselves. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. You are my Savior. I give my life to you. And I invite you to lead my life by your Holy Spirit. And I ask that in your name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, we really believe, and you prayed it sincerely, that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. And I have a booklet that I'd like to give you, so if you've done that and you would like that booklet, I'll make sure that you receive it after service if you come up, or I can get the ushers to get you one
for your personal reading, and it's the Gospel of John, which is where you should always start reading the Bible. If you've never read the Bible, start in the Gospel of John, and we'll give you a copy of that for free and give you a little bit of instruction on how to read that and how to pray through that scripture. Now, for the rest of us, I would like us to pray this way. I'd like us to pray that the Holy Spirit would fall afresh on us. And if we're stale in our spirits, if we need to be more faithful, if we need to do the things God's called us to do, whatever it is, that He would be able to have an open heart, able to work with us. Amen? Join with me in that prayer as well. Father, we thank You that You love us so, that You meet with us every time we gather together. And we have wonderful fellowship with each other and fellowship with You. And Father, we just want You to search our hearts. And if we're becoming stale, if we need a refreshing in our spirits, Lord, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us so that we can be refreshed expressly by Your Holy Spirit and renewed and be able to walk out of this church today refreshed in the Spirit, knowing that You have set things in motion. And by trusting You, we have abundant life, full life, complete and victorious life, and that we can walk uprightly and godly for You. Lord, that's our desire. That's our hunger. So what we may need in our life, Lord, grant us that this morning. And we receive that the same way we receive Jesus Christ, by faith in His name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Give a good, wonderful praise to the Lord this morning. Amen. Bless the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.